Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad to have you with us. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Oh, my head hurts. patent applications.
Yeah, you're about to find out why Brian's head hurts.
I'm good. Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
I'm glad you're with us, Brian, even though it's hurting your head a little bit, because today we have a patent application to talk about. Right, Andrew?
So today we've seen news that Apple is patenting a series of patents. When I wrote it up a couple days ago, it was about 5 patents, I think, and we have just a little bit more information on that. So the patent talks about this mixed reality headset, and mixed reality is a combination of augmented and virtual reality. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to have these, like, I think it said 8K cameras or screens for each eye. It's
8K displays?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and actually, let me energize. You're doing a fantastic job, Andrew. But this does seem like a really good spot to interject Robert Scoble, you know, take him with a grain of salt as you so need. But he said, I hear the monitors inside will beat any monitor, in this case, a display. People have in their homes today. One person who saw the prototype said it's like having an IMAX theater interface.
Okay.
Yep. So it's going to have a whole bunch of sensors to track your head pose, your environment around you, jaw sensors, you know, like tracking your expression and eyebrows and everything. So it sounds pretty advanced.
Well, yeah, and that was part of what was doing my head in is reading through the patent application. It talks a whole lot about like all there's like a set of sensors that are world facing, and then a set of sensors that are user facing to basically capture your facial movements in order to generate an avatar that would then be displayed in the user's environment. And that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't need to see an avatar of myself in my augmented reality glasses. That makes zero sense. But a lot of times Apple is really, really good at patenting, like using a patent with misdirection. So in other words, like patenting a technology and describing it in such a way that isn't necessarily how Apple will actually use it, but is essentially covered by that patent. So in this case, for instance, I would think that if Apple was going to generate an avatar of me based on my facial movements while I'm wearing these glasses, that avatar would actually be for display for someone else. So like if I'm having a phone call with someone.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. So there's just a whole lot in this, in at least this one patent that we've been going through.
Yeah. And it's also possible that some of this could be nonsense, right, Brian? Or, you know, a little bit of misdirection, you know, like look over here, what I'm doing with my hand, so you don't see what I'm doing with my other hand, kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. I mean, there's exactly how Apple's going to use this stuff is not necessarily something you can directly glean from patents,
right.
And patent filing. And there's a whole lot of circular language in this patent application. This is which one is this one? This one is a display system having sensors. That's mm-hmm. a super sexy title.
Yeah. And if you want a taste of this, you can look at prior patents Apple has filed for things that we already know about, and look at, you know, apply, I know what this thing is, and then apply that to what the patent says. And you can tell that now that you've got the product of that patent, like you can see it. But before that, like just to read the patent, you would have no idea what it would be about. So.
Another thing that bears noting like we get conflicting rumors about this display thing, right? We get conflicting rumors a lot. Like we've been told by more than once by, I think Michi Kuo has said that Apple has killed it a couple of times.
Yeah.
And that may or may not be the case. These patents don't necessarily mean that Apple is continuing with that project. I think Apple has to be continuing with that project, right? This is like this thing that we've talked about a lot on the show. Mm-hmm. The idea that Apple wants us all walking around with our phones held in front of our face is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Right. And Apple is putting a lot of effort into promoting AR technologies and promoting and developing AR within the iOS ecosystem. And there's zero chance that Apple is, again, intending for us to walk around with our phones in front of our face. That said, these patents don't necessarily mean that that project is continuing. These patents could well be based on work coming from that project, regardless of whether that project was killed.
Right.
It has no bearing on whether or not the project was killed. Now, that said, Scoble's information is that Apple is, in fact, continuing to work on this and has something really, really special.
Mm-hmm. Which honestly wouldn't surprise me.
You know, you're with your bag of salt on hand.
Of course. The lick of salt, as I like to say.
carry around a major salt lick in your back pocket. Yeah.
That's well, if you're wearing men's pants, the salt lick will fit. Okay.
I've been using bag of salt for years. Why did I not use a lick of salt?
Because you are not from a place where salt licks are regularly deployed. That's probably why.
That's exactly the case. All right. Well, I love you for that, Kelly. Thank you.
You are more than welcome. Use it freely. Hello. Yes. Hello and welcome. And if you would like to find out more about salt licks, you can always email us at observations@macobserver.com. So I think I'm with both of you, because I think you both are of the impression that this project is continuing regardless of what we hear from Ming-Chi Kuo. Mm-hmm. And I agree. And I think there's probably a portion of this of this particular patent, you know, as we sort of read through it, I think there's a portion of this that is going to be practical application to whatever it is that Apple's working on. Right. And I think there's a certain other portion of it that is sort of CYA patent filing. Like, we're doing this and we want to make sure that no one else picks up this other piece of it because we have it patented. So we're going to just file for that, too, like while we're here. You know, it's kind of one of those like, well, I've got you on the phone kind of things. Like, let's just hash it all out at once. So what percentage of each of those? I don't know. But I have a feeling that all the stuff that's in this patent isn't stuff that's necessarily going to come out and be stuff that we all get our hands on. That's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, so like Brian, when you brought up the smoke and mirror portion of the program, that to me sounds pretty legit. Cause I think there's probably some stuff in there that they just sort of want to make sure no one else is going to use when other mobile tech companies, whoever they are, decide that this is the thing that they want to get in on as well. Or and I absolutely agree that
companies come also when other companies come after Apple.
Right.
So some, you know, some patents are defensive in nature, some are offensive in nature, and some are just intended to cover your products. And, you know, there's a whole world here.
Yeah. And I feel like I said, I don't know what the like portion breakdown is on this, but there's a certain amount of this that's, you know, sort of covering a product, and then also like making sure that when others come at it, that Apple can shut that down. Like, no, we own the technology. You know, we own the patent for the technology that does that. So that's not going to happen. So that's kind of my stance on it. I do think the project is still active. You guys both do, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. There's.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be, or Apple is just relying on someone to eventually solve this particular issue.
Yeah.
And that is not the Apple way. It's not the Apple way under Steve Jobs, and it also is not the Apple way under Tim Cook.
Exactly. And like, that's one of the things that has not changed. You know, people talk about, you know, styles of leadership and the version of Apple we have now versus the version of Apple we had before. And that's a thing that's not different no matter what. Like, there's just no way. I'm going to be very curious to see where this ends up, because we've heard about Apple and these glasses or whatever, you know, forever. So that's part of what I'm really curious about is, more than anything, I just want to get my, I want to get a good look at it and see what it is that they are actually up to. And I know we're not going to see it till it's ready, if Air Power taught us nothing else, but I think it'll be, I'm curious to see how they solve it. Like you said, Brian, like, they don't wait for other people to solve for them. And so I'm curious to see what solving this looks like to Apple. So yep. I think it'll be fun. So, yeah. As I said before, if you want to talk to us about whatever Apple's headset project is, like, it may not even be a headset, I don't know. So I feel like I have to air quote that. Send us your theories. Send us your links to other sets of information. You can do that at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter. And you can also find us by leaving a comment in the show notes. We always keep an eye on that as well. Right now, what I want to do is talk to you for a moment about our sponsor. And our sponsor today is OmniFocus. Now, OmniFocus is a professional level to-do manager that helps you, as its tagline says, accomplish more every day. OmniFocus is available on macOS, and it's also available as a universal iOS app with an Apple Watch complication. And that Apple Watch complication also allows you to view, add, and mark tasks completed right on your wrist. It's super cool. OmniFocus remembers everything for you. It makes planning and reviewing easy, and it helps you finish projects on time with reminders based on due dates or locations or other sorts of parameters you want to set up. If you're a GTD person, or if you want to be a GTD person, OmniFocus is the perfect trusted system, since you can enter those tasks from anywhere. And this even includes now OmniFocus for the web, which all you work PC folks can now use to view and update tasks on your work computer. So even there, you can keep track of everything. You can also upgrade to the pro version and get further customization for viewing tasks and perspectives in custom forecasts. You get AppleScript functionality and lots more. You can download your 2-week free trial at omnigroup.com/omnifocus. And I'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, our other topic this morning is $5. The second half of the show today is worth $5. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, so I wrote about this, or I linked to this piece from, who was it? ZDNet? I'm not sure where this is happening. I'm assuming it's wherever Google is based. I think Mountain View, California. Mm-hmm. So they found out that some...
I yes, thought Brian? That was in California.
Yeah, that's...
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
What I said?
Yeah, that is exactly what you said. I thought this was in New York.
Oh. Could no, I think this is separate. I thought that... I wrote that New York was, like, banning facial recognition.
Yeah, so he spends his time... So this guy said... he's talking about his buddy. He spends his time taking esoteric self-help classes and sitting around New York.
Oh, I missed that part.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. So, yeah, they found out that Google employees are asking random people in public to get their facial data, like scanning their face, and in return they get a $5 gift card.
Ooh, $5!
They think that Google is working on some sort of authentication system like Face ID for their Pixel 4.
Okay.
So, here's the question. That you closed with something, Andrew, that I thought was great. You said, add 3 zeros to that Google, and then I'll discuss it. And here was, I know you were quipping there, but here's the question. Like, if you are actually being paid for your data, what is your face worth? What is, like if you actually had the choice, you know, like, you know, Facebook is going to actually have to pay you for some reason for your data before it goes around and profits off of it. Like, what is that worth to you? At what point do you discuss it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, what I wrote was kind of jokey, but I haven't actually sat down and actually thought what I think my data is worth. And I think that's an interesting conversation, because to these companies, it's not worth much to, like, to pay us for it. But we know that it is worth a lot, because this is a business model of collecting and selling data. So it's worth something.
Right. On the one hand, like, first of all, props to Google for finally being upfront about it, right? Like,
yeah, kind of. I understand what you're saying. But
yeah. Like, at least in this case, they're like, we want your data and we will give you money for it. Like, yeah, it's officially diddly, but we're going to do it. So, like, at least they're being upfront about it in this case. So, yay. But I think the other part of that transaction, Andrew, when you sit down to figure out, like, what that magical number is, like, the other thing they are sort of paying you with is the trust that that data is not going to get out, or that something is not going to happen to it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the other piece of this is, like, yeah, I, like, if I give my face information to Google, like, what assurance do I have that it's not being sold to someone else who's going to use it against me later? Right.
Yeah, like, or just being used by Google to further surveil you.
Right.
Right.
Right. To so that, you know, Google can accurately identify you when it sees you in someone else's phone or someone else's photograph,
mm-hmm.
someone else's video or someone else's, you know, surveillance camera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But what is that worth? Like, Kelly, like, Google's going to pay you right now. They're going to pay you whatever you would like, what's that dollar figure to get you to go, okay, yeah, sure, here's my face.
It's vast, because I'm not just giving them my face. I'm giving them all that other stuff.
I want numbers. What is it?
Okay, it's $100 million. Like, because I want Google to laugh at me and leave me alone.
Huh. No, come on. There is an actual figure that would get you to consider it.
Yeah, but
there is a figure.
It's a lot. Like, I haven't really, like, Andrew, I haven't really thought about it, because, first of all, it's never quite that blatant. And second of all, because, you know, like, it's not just that I'm giving them my face. Like you said, you know, I'm giving them the opportunity to identify me personally in other contexts for whatever reason. And then I have no idea what further use they're going to apply to that data. So, particularly because this is Google, like, I'm not into it.
I've got an answer.
Okay.
$1.3 million so that I could then buy a facial reconstruction and still have $1 million left over.
This is a good answer. I like this answer.
How about you, Andrew?
I think I'll just go with what I joked about and say $5,000.
$5,000 would like, you would consider it at $5,000. That's fine. I'm not challenging you on the answer. I'm just making sure that that's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And so here's a great quote from this engineer that this story. So this story is sort of a secondhand anecdotal story, and it's actually a fun read. It's well written.
Mm-hmm.
What did this guy say? Google basically the engineer wasn't really worried about the whole thing. He sort of went through this $5 transaction because he was just sort of curious about how it would work out, because he's an engineer. And so his friend, the fellow who actually wrote the article, said, George, I was thinking about the privacy thing. I don't know if you've heard, but it's quite big these days. Do you really know what they'll do with your face? And he said, Google basically has my whole life on their servers already, and removing Google from my life just isn't going to happen from a practical point of view. I don't really care about data privacy because I think it's all an illusion anyway. And I think that captures, that's in quote, and I think that captures what a whole lot of people feel about this. Like, there's a whole yeah. bunch of people who are way less uptight about this than the three of us,
mm-hmm.
especially me.
And I think, I think you could say the same thing if you did find and replace about Facebook. I think that's like, you know, when we talked about the cognitive dissonance of, like, you know, freaking out over FaceApp, but people not really caring much about Facebook. I think it's the same sort of thing. Like, I've been feeding Facebook information about myself for 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, whatever. And so getting it out of my life now, you know, isn't really going to matter. Like, they have all this information already. So I think there's sort of a almost a futility to it. Like, people have just sort of given up on that sort of
thing.
Google's
credit, Google has actually protected this treasure trove of us that they own. They've protected it way better than Facebook has. Way better. Orders of magnitude better. At least that we know of so far.
Yes.
What was the settlement? There was a settlement. Was it yesterday? I had jury duty yesterday, so I was pretty unplugged yesterday. But there was a settlement with the FTC that basically the FTC found that Facebook did something yet again with our data. But, like, the settlement didn't include Facebook admitting that it was wrong.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
It like I said,
the settlement was for $5
billion. $5
billion?
Facebook
has to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have to admit wrongdoing. Also,
as part of that settlement, they also have to create this, like, special privacy committee that will review the product every 3 months to make sure it's actually private.
L freaking OL. Are you kidding me? That's going to be the quote-unquote privacy. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. God. Oh, man, my head hurts again. Kelly,
I'm sorry, Brian. You know, if you'd given your face to Google, there'd be somebody at your door right now with aspirin.
That's true. Maybe that's not true. That's completely specious, but, you know, whatevs.
Oh, certainly. To be absolutely clear, yes, yes. I'm totally just making fun. In 2019, yes. In 2021, who knows? Especially this Facebook one was sort of funny because it was like, ooh, $5 billion. And then there's also like another $100 million because of SEC rules or something. Like, there was something about that as well. Which I am only sort of remembering, but it was like $100 million because of misleading information about people's data. There you go. We're finding out that Andrew's going for a lot cheaper than Brian and Kelly are. If Google comes knocking and wants our faces, I'm not interested in helping Google build Skynet, even if it's going to happen anyway. I just don't feel like I want to help pave that road. So that's most of my stance on that. I understand what they're doing, but at the same time, like, you know, there's the thing that they talked about was Face ID, right? Like, they train your phone on Face ID and they want to do this, but they want it to be better. And, like, the only thing I can think of is I don't remember hearing about Apple people on the street going, if you give me $5, we can make it so your phone unlocks with your face. Right. It was just a fundamentally different approach to solving that particular engineering problem, which I think is sort of interesting. So anyway, if you have a price that Google could pay you for your face, we would like to know that. You can get a hold of us through all of the usual channels. And in the meantime, I'd like to thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Brian, thanks for being here. Sorry about your head.
Thanks for having me, and going to go get some Tylenol.
Good call. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.